Lord. Oh my God. Amen. So as you all know, we've been studying the book of Daniel. Once a month, we get into this study. This month, we're into chapter 9. We have already studied 9 chapters of the book of Daniel. Amen?
Amen.
And you know that my objective is to teach prophetic teachings. Amen. So we're going to chapter 9. So if you can all go there, this is an interactive session. Amen. I ask you guys to read, which helps me a lot with my voice. Amen. Okay, so let's start. The book of Daniel takes place, amen, 539 BC. This portion takes place, amen. It's during the Persian Empire. We spoke about that, amen. And by this time, Daniel is an old man, okay? Amen. And he's praying to God for the restoration of Israel. Remember that the people are in exile in Babylon, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this, we're not going to do this whole chapter. This chapter is too long for one session. We're only going to do 19 verses, which is the prayer of Daniel. The prophetic portion of this chapter we will do when I'm on next month, okay? Okay. So the first 19 verses is a prayer. Daniel is praying to God. So let's get into it. I'm not going to prolong this. So we're going to read verses 1 and 2. So I'm going to ask someone to read verses 1 and 2.
In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, and that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. So as I said, Daniel is praying. Well, Daniel is reading. He's reading the book of Jeremiah. And he reads a prophecy. He reads a prophecy in Jeremiah 25, verses 11 to 12, and chapter 29, verse 10. Now, the people are in exile, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So Daniel reads this prophecy. So what does it say there? It says, it's telling you that when he was reading this prophecy, the prophecy, which I'm not going to read to you, but you can read on your own, because we don't want to prolong this, predicts that they will be in exile for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's amazing, because God punished them, and we'll get into why they're in exile. God punished them, sends them, has the nation of Babylon take them over, and yet at the same time, he tells them that after 70 years, he's going to, that's the period of their exile,
mm-hmm.
70 years. Amen?
Yes.
So then verse 3 says what? What does verse 3 say?
Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes.
So here's this. He recognizes that restoration has to be near. Mm-hmm. The 70 years are just about over.
Yes.
So what does he do? He begins to pray.
Pray.
In sackcloth and ashes. Mm-hmm. Amen. What does that mean? Hallelujah. He's praying humbly, earnestly. Mm-hmm. Have you been there? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When you realize there's something, it's time for something to happen. And you really begin to humble yourself. And you begin to pray to the Lord. Amen. Whatever your situation is in life. And I know that we all have situations that we've been before the Lord for a long time. But I want to tell you that the end will come. That God will not fail you. You may not see it right now. You may not see it in your lifetime. But we are eternity minded. We want to see our children and our grandchildren in heaven with us. So don't give up. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up. Continue to pray because restoration will come. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's reading the scriptures. He repents. He's praying. That's intercessory prayer. You cannot give up on prayer no matter what you see. We all got stuff. I got stuff that I have before the Lord that I haven't seen the fruition of what of restoration. But I know that God is faithful. Never give up on God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I need Mark, where's Mark? Read chapter verse 4. Hallelujah.
Where's Mark?
Okay. Somebody read verse 4.
And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and peace and covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments.
Amen. You see that? How does he start his prayer? Mm-hmm. How does he start? Amen. Great and awesome. It's a confession. It's a confession. Yes, it is.
Awesome
and
God.
He, in his confession, what he's telling God how awesome he is, how great he is, you know, how faithful he is. Look at that. Oh, Lord, great and awesome, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love God? Amen. Hallelujah. He says, with those who love him, with those who keep his word. Hallelujah. What is his word? We blow it all the time. We make mistakes because we're human. We're not yet in our glorified body. But God is faithful because we are the children of God. Once you confess that he is your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. And he loves you. He loves you unconditionally, even when we make mistakes. Hallelujah. He's righteous. Hallelujah. This is Daniel. Daniel establishes God's righteousness before he makes any request.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start your prayers? Oh, God, I need this. Oh, God. We blow it. I know
praise
that.
And worship. Oh, God.
But we got to worship him first. We got to praise him from the heart, not from just the mouth out, from the heart. Mm-hmm. We got to tell him and recognize that he is great, that he is awesome, that he is faithful, that nothing is impossible for him. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm eternity minded. I want to see my children, my grandchildren in glory, my great grandson in glory. I want to see him in heaven. And I know that I may not see it happen while I'm alive, but I know God is faithful. And I know that he's going to save them. And I know that he's going to forgive them. I want you to stand on that. I want you to stand on that. Don't give up on your children and your grandchildren.
Right.
Verse 5. Okay, verse 5. Go ahead, Mark. I called you before.
Oh, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments.
Amen. So what is Daniel doing?
He's confessing.
Amen. He identifies with the sin. It's not like I'm so goody two shoes and I'm so great and I help the poor and I do this. No. He identifies and acknowledges the sin of Israel and his sin. Amen. And you know, he tells us that they've done wickedly. How did they do wickedly? by departing from the word of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Read the word. Do what the word says. Try your best. Try your best. And when you blow it, repent and get before God and tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. And you know, the first John, the letters of John, he says that if you repent, he is faithful and just to forgive right. you your Amen. Sins. He says, little children, that's us. We are the children of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know that, yeah. right?
Amen.
You know that because we have accepted the Lord, we are his children.
That's right.
Amen. And he knows what it is to live in this flesh because he was here. Hallelujah. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Try not to depart from the word of God. Hallelujah. The word is a mirror. I don't know about you, but when I read the word, I say, oh, my God, is that me? And then I have to repent.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. verse 6. I'll have somebody read yeah. verse 6.
I'll read. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land.
Amen, amen. What do you get from that? What do you get from that? Neither have we heeded your servants.
Obedience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, God may send someone to you, and they may give you some counseling. When you perceive that it's from God, don't reject them. Don't reject that counsel. Many, and I've been there many a time, you say, oh, that's not me. But God knows you. Sometimes we have things so deeply rooted that we don't realize they're there. Hmm. And God sends others to deliver. That happened to me, and I won't go into it. Not recognizing, because sometimes your hurt is so deeply rooted. And it has become a root of bitterness, and you don't even realize it. And so your actions are shaded by this deep root of bitterness. So when God sends someone, here God was sending Israel the prophets all the time, letting them know what they had done wrong, but they wouldn't heed. So Daniel is recognizing, you sent them to us to speak to us, and we rejected them. Have an open heart. Be receptive to hear when someone in love is giving you a word of God for you that meets your situation. Mm-hmm. The emphasis is in love. God does not send somebody to judge you. God does not send anybody to put you down. God will send somebody in love to give you his word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Verse, I'll have
somebody read, amen, verses 7 and 8.
Okay. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Hold on. I just messed up.
It's okay.
I gotta go back. Okay. And unto okay. And to the
you can read the whole thing. Read it over.
Okay. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them. Because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Verse 8.
The men of Judah and to the inhabitants of
Jerusalem. And verse 8, Lisa.
There are near.
Okay. Okay, sorry. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee.
Amen. So confusion of face means Amen. Shame. Mm. It means shame. They're shame, gospel. So, again, what does he do? He acknowledges God's righteousness, amen, that God is inherently righteous. Amen? Amen? Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face. Amen? He acknowledges that all Israelites have sinned. Amen? Hallelujah. Wherever they are, he says, all of Israel, those near and far. Amen? It's not only those within the nation of Israel, but those near and far, because they're in Babylon. Amen?
Amen.
So he's acknowledging the righteousness of God. He acknowledges what else? What else? That God drove them out. Wherever you have driven them, God. So there should be a question behind that. Okay. And then he says, because of their unfaithfulness, which they have committed against you. Okay? So he's acknowledging that even their kings, their princes, their fathers, their ancestors have sinned against God. So you should ask the question, why did God send them into exile for 70 years? It's a definite period of time. It's not like God says, I'm going to send you into exile until I feel like it. A definite period of time. Why? I'm going to tell you why. And this time, I'm going to have you go to the Word. Amen. I'm going to have you go to Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Amen. Go to Leviticus chapter 25, verses 2 to 7.
Leviticus.
Amen. Third book of the Bible.
Thank you.
Oh, Leviticus, that's the book of the law. That's called the book of the law. I'm going to have Dorcas read. Dorcas, are you ready?
I'm just about ready. Leviticus 25.
Verses 2 to 7. Do you have the 2 to 7? Read that.
Yes. Okay. Just one second. Let me. Okay. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the Lord shall keep a Sabbath. Then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. Continue?
Yeah, continue to verse 7.
But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyards. What grows of its own accord of your harvest, you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, your male and female servants, your hired man, and the stranger who dwells with you, for your livestock and the beasts that are in your land, all its fruit produce shall be for food.
So let's stop a minute. You know that the Lord instituted a Sabbath for us even, right? The seventh day of the week is a day of rest. So here God is instituting for Israel a rest for the land, right?
Yes.
Because the seventh, God would produce, would allow enough produce to come from the land in the sixth year to feed all of Israel. The seventh year, they cannot touch the land. Why? The land is replenishing itself.
Right.
And the soil is replenishing itself. Right. Now, Now read, so we know why God instituted that, right? Now read 2 Chronicles. Somebody else read 2 Chronicles, and I want you to read this, you know, thoroughly and clearly. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 20 to 21.
36, 26, 20.
All right, I'm gonna read. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia.
Read verse 21.
To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
To fulfill 70 years.
Okay, let me read it in what I have, the New King James Version. I don't know if that's what you have, Liz, but it's a little clear.
Oh, that's what I had.
You have? Yeah, okay.
No, I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm going to read it again. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his successor until the kingdom of Persia came into power. They're talking, it's being spoken of Nebuchadnezzar. He came against Jerusalem, and he conquered them, and he carried Israelites into exile, and it says until the kingdom of Persia. The next kingdom that reigned was Persia after Babylon. Okay, and what does it say? It says then the land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation, it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the words of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah.
Oh,
did you get that?
Yes, I got it.
They see the land was producing, so they were interested in money. Right. You know, the land is producing, let's sell. But God had told them in Leviticus, God had told them when they were walking with Moses, you got to let the land rest. So because they disobeyed God, God sent them into exile 70 years. Why 70 years? Because every 7 years, the land was supposed to rest. So if you calculate the years that they did not allow the land to rest, right, it equals 7 years. There's a reason. God is a righteous God.
Wow.
There's reason we can be saved, but we're going to suffer the consequences of our disobedience. It does not mean that God has forsaken us. It does not mean that you're not going to heaven. It does not mean that you're not saved. But whatever we do that's contrary to the word of God, we're going to suffer the consequences. If you gossip and it comes back to you and it was wrong, and you're going to suffer, people not liking you or people saying that you're a gossiper, well, you didn't lose your salvation, but you're suffering the consequences, right?
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Amen. If you go into debt, that God didn't put you in debt. If you go in debt and you're trying to figure out your bills, you're going to suffer the consequences. I'm just saying that so that you can make the point. They had to suffer the consequences of their disobedience. And God gave them mercy. You know why? Because God allowed the land to replenish itself. And for those of you that don't know, at the end of the Babylonian kingdom, when Daniel is praying this, Persia becomes the greatest empire, and the Persian king Cyrus allows the Jews to go back to their homeland. So God does not only forgive you, but he restores you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read verse 9. Hallelujah.
Verse 9 in Daniel?
In Daniel?
Yes, first Daniel. Okay. Yes, yes. We're in Daniel. Verse 9.
To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him.
Read 10 also, I'm sorry. Read also.
We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets.
Amen. So again, they're acknowledging God's mercy, that God is merciful, that God forgives. Hallelujah. I thank God that he's merciful.
Amen.
I thank him that he forgives. Because let me tell you something. Everybody, we all did junk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We all did junk. No one is excluded.
That's right.
Even he says, even when we have disobeyed, right? He's saying, to our Lord belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled, even when we've disobeyed. Hallelujah.
Though we have refused
to hear those sent by God, God is still merciful. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 11 to 12.
11
to 12. Amen.
11, 12.
Go ahead, Elizabeth. 11 to 12.
No. No, because it's not the English version.
Which one do you have?
I don't know. One on my app. On my app.
Okay, but read it slowly. Read it. Read it, but read it slow. So you can get all the words in, okay? Go ahead. All right.
You know, the brain is getting, my focus.
No.
Okay. Yeah, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing. Wow. That they might not obey the voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Wow. Okay. And he had confirmed his words, which he had spoke against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven had not been done as had been done upon Jerusalem.
Oh my God. Yeah, you have the old King James Version, I believe.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
I gotta change it. I don't like it.
To the new King James. Anyway, so what is he saying? He's remember that Israel had been, prior to this exile, Israel had been split into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah, even though they're both Israel.
Yeah.
So he's acknowledging, see who went to Babylon? Only the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was taken previously by the Assyrians. Do you understand what I'm saying? The northern kingdom, the Assyrians, the Assyrians had conquered the northern kingdom. So the only kingdom that was left was the southern kingdom. And Babylon came against the southern kingdom. But look at him. He's acknowledging we've all sinned. Both the southern, both we have sinned and the northern kingdom. He's acknowledging that they have all broken the law of God. Amen. And he says here, and he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. Amen. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. He's acknowledging and he's saying, what a disaster. This has never been done to the people of God. To Jerusalem. We're now captive in another nation. We're serving another nation. Amen. So he's acknowledged. And remember, and I'm not going to go there, but you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you can see the blessings and the curses for disobedience. Amen. So he's recognizing that God's a righteous God. If he said this, he's going to do it. Amen. And
amen.
So this destruction, this going into exile, was not a random thing, as you know, because we read the other scriptures, but it was covenantal. They had broken the covenant. Amen. You know, we have so much better covenant. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus wasn't there.
Right.
He had not died for us. This is all covenantal under the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We are so blessed. We can just go to God and he'll forgive us.
That's right.
Amen.
But look what happened to them. They had to go into exile because they broke the law. And the law said that they would go into exile for 70 years. So God, being a righteous God, had to fulfill his law. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a much better covenant.
Amen.
For that, we should all be grateful. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm going to try to bring this up as soon as possible. Verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth.
Amen.
Mm.
Very simple.
Yes.
Put away pride and arrogance. Be willing to humble yourself before God. That's what he's saying. We haven't even done that. We haven't repented. We haven't gone before God and asked for forgiveness. He says, before the Lord, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. We haven't prayed that we might realize what we're doing and that we might turn away from it and understand your word. So that's what he's acknowledging for his whole nation. Amen. Verse 14. Vineet, would you read verse 14?
We have not found.
Vineet?
You're on mute, Vineet.
We can't hear you.
You're mute.
Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice.
Amen. So what God, what Daniel is doing, you know, he's rejecting any idea that God is unfair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's vindicating God. You know, God is right in what he's doing because we've been unfaithful. Amen. Hallelujah. That God is righteous in his judgments and in his blessings. God is righteous. And he's acknowledging we deserve this punishment because we have disobeyed.
Mm-hmm.
15.
Consequences.
Verse 15. Who hasn't read? Pastor, read verse
15. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what is he doing? He's reminding God, you took us out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mighty deed, God. You brought us out of Egypt. Amen. You were merciful. Your name is great. Your name is great. He's attaching this people to God. Amen. Your name is great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he is acknowledging their wickedness. Amen. He says it. We have sinned and done wickedly. Amen. Amen. And, you know, he's God, be merciful. Like when you took us out of Egypt, he's reminding him of his mercy. Even in the midst of their wilderness experience, even in the midst of punishments during those times, God was still merciful. Hallelujah. Verse, I'd like someone to read verses
16.
Amen, amen. Verse 16, and we're going to read through verse 17. 16 and 17. Whoever would like to read.
Okay, I'll read. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your faith to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. So here he is, right? He's, let your anger be put away from him. Remember that this is a prayer, this is a continuous prayer. And Mark in the beginning had read that it was a prayer with supplications. And what is the connotation of that? That's a pleading. Have you ever been there? When you get before God, but God, and you're crying and you're pleading with God. This is the prayer that's going on.
Amen.
And Daniel, you know, he, again, you know, after this confession, after this sin, and after he recognizes that God is righteous, amen, he's pleading, let your anger be put away from us, from your holy city, amen, hallelujah, turn that anger away from us, amen, hallelujah, amen. Turn that anger, he also, listen, look at what he does here, okay, he says, I want to find it here, it says, okay, here's what he says, turn your anger away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. he's informing God. God, you chose us. We are your people. And the world, remember when they were going through the wilderness and they were saying, the people, the outsiders said, here come the people of God. Mm. And they were afraid. If you can read the wilderness experience, amen? And what he's connecting, he's tying together God with Israel. If we're a reproach, what are they saying about you, God, in essence? I'm just going to put it, if your people are a reproach,
well,
you know, it's, in essence, he's saying, it's reflecting, we're a reflection of you, God, we are your people. So what are they going to say? Amen, hallelujah, you know? So what he's saying is that God's reputation is tied to his people. What do you think about that? God's reputation is tied to his people. Mm-hmm. What about today, Christians today? What are Christians today doing and saying, which is a reproach to God?
Mm-hmm.
Many Christians today and many churches and many areas of the country are acting in a way that is a reproach to God.
Yeah.
So other nations are looking, and what are they saying? And these are the Christians?
Yeah, yeah, these are
people. Because they're trying God. Imagine the Muslims. This is the God that they represent. It's not like Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're bringing a reproach to the name of God. God forbid the Muslims do that.
Mm.
God forbid. Their own people will do something to them. And you know what I'm saying? So we have to be careful how we reflect Christianity. This is Israel saying, what's happening to us, we deserve it, but we're a reflection of your reputation. So people may misunderstand God's reputation, that he is righteous, that he is holy, that he is forgiving, that he is faithful. People will misconstrue that based on how we act. That's the point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. And that's the point he was making. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What does he do? He asked God to cause your faith to shine, your faith to shine upon us. Amen. That takes you back to Numbers. Remember the number, the prayer in Numbers?
Yes.
Amen. Which asks for, let your face shine upon us, let your grace, let your peace. It's kind of like he's reminding him of that prayer. Mm-hmm. Let your face, if God's face shines upon you, what do you have? You have blessings.
Amen.
You have favor.
That's right.
So that's what he's asking. You have deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're going to do, Amen.
We're gonna
be finishing up. Verse 18. Somebody read verse 18, please.
Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of your righteousness,
because of
your righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies.
Amen.
Because of our righousness. He's telling us
we're not
the
righteous.
We're not righteous.
You, because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Again, he's appealing to God's mercy and God's righteousness. He's recognizing that. He's recognizing that we have sinned, but you're merciful and you're righteous. Amen?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And look at this. What did Daniel do in these prayers? He expressed his trust and faith in God, his belief that God was merciful. He expressed his dependence on God. Amen? And many a times we got it together, right? We tell ourselves, I can do this. I got this. But that's pride. Mm-hmm. Whatever you have, it's because of God.
That's it.
Wherever you succeed in, it's because of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of God's favor upon you. Amen? And he's recognizing that. It's because of you, Lord. It's because of you. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. We got to be careful with self-righteousness.
Yes.
And we've all been there. And we've all been wanting to be honored and be recognized. But our recognition comes from God. And he alone will recognize you. And he alone will give you honor. And he alone will raise up people to honor you. Let God do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when God does it, nobody can take it away. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to finish with verse 19. We're going to finish. I'm going to read it. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's right.
Triple emphasis. Did you see that?
Yes.
Trip?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lord, hear.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been there in prayer. Lord, hear.
Listen.
Lord, forgive. Lord, listen.
Yes.
Lord, forgive. Lord, listen. Lord, I repent. Hallelujah. Not based on my own righteousness, not based on Israel's righteousness, but on God's reputation. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to leave you there. God is faithful. God is good. And come to him in prayer and recognize that he is a restorer of all that the cankerworm has taken away. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He will restore. Don't lose faith. And encourage. Encourage the people in your life. Stop judging them. Stop judging them. They know what they've done wrong. Encourage them. Call them mighty. Call them beloved of God. Call them what God calls them. Call them
Amen. Blessed.
They may not want to hear it, but you continue to call them blessed. You continue to call them successful in the Lord. Continue to call them mighty men and women of God. Amen. Because you serve a faithful God. Amen. Pastor Bernice, take it.